This podcast is a little different. This is the first one where they're not really covering any books. I guess the second one because they he did an episode with Leif that we covered too. Mm-hmm. So where do you want to start? What stuck out to you the most in listening to Jocko Podcast 21?
Like the difference between Tim Kennedy and Jocko Willink's reading and why they read. I thought that was kind of interesting because.
Okay, you know, so the selection of fiction between nonfiction would be your first thing?
No. It was, Tim Kennedy reads for the whys, and Jocko reads for the psychology. That's why they read. Jocko never really reads any fiction, which, you know, I don't think you or I do either. You read fiction?
Whoa.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. I read way more nonfiction just because I'm reading a biography every week for my other podcast founders. So that's like heavily skewed it. But yeah, in general, I'm obsessed with science fiction. I've read all the Game of Thrones books. I like Andy Weir's books. I read Artemis and the one that was turned into the movie Martian, Ready Player One. All of Max Berry's books, all of Daniel Wilson's books, which are all about robotics and technology and the future. Yeah, because I think like they're the ones, a lot of the people that are building the technologies of today, I wasn't expecting to talk about this, by the way, Rob, but since we got there, a lot of the people that are building the technologies of today, if you listen to them, and I listen to a lot of them because I also listen to a lot of podcasts with entrepreneurs and take notes on them, and almost all of them have been heavily influenced by whether it's Snow Crash or what's Asimov? I don't know.
I was going to say Isaac Asimov.
Yeah, like there's a ton of them that took this and it's like, hey, this guy's basically writing about a world that doesn't exist. Let me go out and try to pull this world from a distant future into the present. So I know a lot of people that like to read and, you know, they have very strong opinions. Like my sister reads, I don't know, probably like 3 books a week, not even kidding, and it's all fiction. And then I have, you know, a lot of other friends that read and it's all nonfiction. I think there's a benefit in both because to a certain degree, a lot of like our understanding of reality, I would even argue, is basically fiction. You know what I mean? Like it's just, we have such a poor understanding, like using that famous quote I always say from Thomas Edison when I read his book, was that, you know, we know 1/10,000th of 1% of anything. Like basically he's just saying humans don't know anything. Like,
yeah.
No, so I think there's,
I agree.
When they're crafting these stories, you learn, even if they're fictionalized, they still lean heavily on real events and you can learn a lot about human nature, I guess is my point.
Even in fiction.
Absolutely.
I think nonfiction would be a better teacher of human psychology and human behavior, but yet again, some people have a better understanding than others, and they write that into characters.
You don't read fiction at all?
I don't. I do, but it's a rarity. It's a huge bulk of nonfiction for me. Like I just don't find like, I don't know, man. Like you seem to be the opposite to me. Like you like fantasy. I don't like the fantasy genre. I think I do think there is some creative elements, but I also think like, because you're going into the world of the unknown and people don't know better, they're just like, they're susceptible to your imagination. And it's just, and I don't want to confuse imagination with like somebody who can actually see a little better than others. Does that make any sense? Like,
you know what I think of though? I think you like more historical fiction. Like it's a fictional account of something that actually happened, because your favorite book, the one that you recommended to me and that I couldn't put down, it's the guy that wrote, he's the showrunner on Game of Thrones.
David Benioff.
Thank you. And the book is called City of Thieves?
You got it.
No. Is that it? Okay. Yeah, that's I would consider that historical fiction because it's about a real war that happened, but it's fictionalized characters using a lot of like the cannibalism in the book.
Exactly.
Right?
That was like you're living in the world or the real world, in my opinion, there, besides some science fantasy where anything could fucking happen. You know, it's like a cartoon to me rather than something serious. I'll give you a better example that, The Martian was like one of those things, like you made it believable.
It's a fictional account of, but all the math and the physics are accurate. He did the, and you're talking about Andy Weir.
I am.
And he did the same thing. He did the same thing for Artemis, which is about, before he even wrote one word of Artemis, which is about a lunar colony, he sketched out what would the, like, what's the physics of, on the moon, and then what would be the economics of a lunar economy, and then built a story around that. So it's actually like rooted in reality, but the story is completely fake.
I haven't read Artemis, but I love The Martian because of that, because it's grounded in firm reality.
Read Artemis, dude. It was fantastic.
Okay.
You'll love it.
I do love moon economies. So, but that, like, that's where I'd like to be. Like, I just can't, like, I for some reason I just get fed up with, just kind of the cop outs and the shortcuts and things of science fantasy that just, like, I don't know. I don't want to sound mean because I can sound a little mean. But
no, I think you're making your point. I understand.
But the thing is, you reminded me of a quote that, like, that hit me a little bit from, you know, we've been talking a lot about the book "The Obstacle Is the Way," but that one book, whoever, or that one quote from it is, "Whoever cannot seek the unforeseen sees nothing, for the known way is an impasse." So I think of that, like, when you said that these fiction writers are, like, they're seeing what's not been seen before, which is kind of like, okay, I kind of get a little bit of it now. Like, but still, like, I can't get past, like, the story shortcuts. And I want to circle back to, like, a few words of wisdom that we got from Tim Kennedy. Is, like, one of those things that really stand out, that I think, like, the one thing I am going to take away from this podcast is the, like, when they talked about, like, there's no reason to go to bed not tired. Like, you should go to bed, like, you know, full exhausted. I really thought that was good. Like, that is a good thing to live by.
So me and my wife just started last night.
High Castle, watching, I guess?
No. This is one of the best war movies of all time, which is Schindler's List.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I, you know, it's been a decade and a half since I've seen it, and I'm a completely different person now. And we're both sitting here watching, and I was like, okay, I've seen this movie before. I don't remember any of it. So it's kind of nice, because it's one of the best, you know, arguably one of the best movies of all time.
It's a great movie.
And now we're experiencing it. It's been such a long time since you've seen it. It's almost like you get to experience it again for the first time.
Yeah, I want to see it because they had that Spielberg documentary on HBO, and he talks about, like, how he had to film it, like, kind of quietly, because they went to the actual locations to film it, and they didn't want any type of people to get the wrong idea. But he was like, we can't film this anywhere else. Like, it's,
well, for anybody listening that has Netflix, it's on Netflix right now, so jump on it. It's 3 hours and 13 minutes long, so we're gonna watch it over two nights. But yeah, so I started that just because, you know, it's again, an exposition into human nature, which is, I find fascinating. So I just want to talk about one more thing before we get out of here. And it's something we talked about that I referenced on a past podcast. They talked about the fact that the United States military has now removed bayonet training.
Mm-hmm. Again.
And so the bayonet, which we've talked about a lot, especially when it came to, like, the war against the Japanese in World War II, they basically said, hey, we're going to pull this out of here right now because it's not... those kind of wars shouldn't be happening anymore given the current technology. So that makes sense to me, but Tim makes the other point, and that he's like, listen, I would keep it in just because bayonet training gives you an idea, an understanding of what war is like. It's chaos, it's hell, it's ugly, it's disgusting, and most of all, it's violent. And you need to simulate that in your training, so when the soldiers get there, they're not surprised by the level of, you know, ugliness is what he's selling. That is hell. It is chaotic. And when you're right up on somebody and you're fighting them to the death by stabbing them to death with something that's attached to the end of your gun, like, you cannot escape. We always talk about, like, the difference between how war was even a couple hundred years ago. It's like man to man, you're seeing the person you kill, where now, you know, drones are doing it, or snipers might be a mile and a half away, or you're dropping a bomb from a plane. Completely different experience. So I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on his statement there.
I mean, I think they still hold to be, like, kind of the same. Like, I do think bayonet should that like that reality should kind of be into the training, but I think you can also get it with like any type of close quarter combat training you can get, because who's using bayonets anymore? I kind of understand the military's point of view on it, like, hey, this is we don't fight trench warfare, we haven't done it in 100 years now, and I don't think it's because they're worried about the sensitivity of the soldiers or anything like that. I just think it's seen as an outdated art form, if you will, or like medium
tactic.
It's just antiquated. Like it's just not necessary anymore. But you do have to show these guys, like, there may be like a knife fight. They like even in like Iraq or Afghanistan would be most relevant. You could just come across and just be really close and might have to protect your life with a knife fight. You know, like I hope that still is it, like the close quarter stuff. I hope that still is in it. But I understand that the absolute need that these guys are coming from, Tim and Jocko, saying that, hey, this is kind of valuable, and we need to teach the new batch or the new crew that it's like you said, chaotic. It can be up close and personal, and I don't know, man. It'd just be a little less of a shock, I guess, if you actually had to do that. Like you'd be like, okay, it's just part of your training. Like everything should kind of be part of your training, I think, is where these guys come from. So include it in some form. I think close quarter combat is just as good. I just don't think you need to learn the right melee with a bayonet on top of a rifle anymore, because I don't know, you're just gonna spray the guy with your M16. You know what I mean? Like, who knows?
Yeah. So I think that's probably a good place to leave it, just because this one, you know, it's just mainly a conversation between two interesting people. So definitely go listen to it in case you haven't. Next week is going back to the books, and this one I might have some more information on, because I listened to the audiobook, and we're going to be talking about North Korea next week. So it's Nothing to Envy: Ordinary Lives in North Korea. And as far as I can tell, it's ordinary lives up through the famine that occurred in the 90s, maybe early 2000s. I actually don't know when it ended.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But the book is really insane. It's terrifying when you think about these people literally wasted their entire lives idolizing, and most likely they were brainwashed. I'm not, you know, picking on them. But it's just, again, I think it's a good book to read or listen to, just because you understand what human, like the power of belief.
Okay.
And if you're believing in the wrong things, you can waste the one chance of life that you have.
So
it's terrifying and sad and worth talking about.
I think this is actually one of the most important things when it comes, like if we're looking at this as military history, this is one thing that's like really, really important down the line. Like, I think it's just relevant, is like the rise of dictatorship and things of that nature. And
an absolute, complete totalitarian control that I've never even, I'm not sure I've ever heard. They go into great detail. A lot of this is from defectors that eventually got out. But just to the down to the level of like every single word that you utter, what you do for a living, where you live, like everything is decided by somebody else, and
it should be a fun podcast.
So yeah, we'll leave it there. Let me just plug my other podcast. If you're interested in the history of entrepreneurship, I read books just like Jocko does for every podcast. I actually got the idea from him, and it's at founderspodcast.com or founder. Just search Founders Podcast in any of your podcast apps, and you can hear me talking to a microphone for, I don't know, I probably have 75 hours now of doing that. So, all right, Rob, I will talk to you next week, and we'll talk more about North Korea.
Sorry, I was on the cough, but all right, buddy.
I'll see you. No worries. I'll talk to you later. Bye.